You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to Joe Zepacki about some of the political headlines of the week. He's also a candidate for state Democratic Party chair, so we will talk a bit about how things are going in that race that will happen at the state Democratic convention in mid-June. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here, and Brittany, I would like to apologize to you in advance. We had to bump Todd Alba, and we couldn't have him on his normal 7:50 time. We said, can you come on right after Brittany's weather at 8 o'clock? And he eventually said yes, but the problem was we reached him at an inopportune time. And he had the audacity to tell us he was in the shower at the time. And now, from what I can see in the camera, Brittany, he's got a towel turban on right now.
I'm fresh out of the shower, Brittany. I'm smelling great. I mean, here's the deal. Greg said tried to call me. Our phones aren't working. It never rang. I get this urgent message that says, if you want to be on this show, you have to come on now. Now means now. And you mean it's live radio. You got to go on when you're called. The show must go on. So I dialed in, standing there bare as the day I was born. I did put on a towel by the end of the 2-minute segment.
TMI posts.
Left is still drying. So.
We're getting oh no from folks. We're getting oh Todd. We're getting TMI Todd. It's just.
Well, look, folks. Be thankful. I didn't use the camera.
We're thankful. Don't get me wrong.
I'm no Brad Pitt or whatever. I don't have the body for that. So
Shishu putting up. I'm waiting for a big batch of curly hair to pop out from that towel. You're gonna be waiting a while.
Oh no! You want to see? Look, there's hardly any hair left.
It's amazing what a career in politics and then radio will do to some folks. You know? Are you listening on another?
Well said.
Are you listening on two screens again, Todd? Because I'm hearing myself there.
You want to know what it is? I'm turning down the computer. No, it's my earbuds. Died. They weren't charged, so I had to use the speaker. Kind of a morning, you understand.
So for folks that missed it earlier, we have to rewind quite a bit because Todd misread a memo and somehow got the impression that I was canceling him from appearing on our morning show, Brittany. And he mentions this live on air, decides to call me live on air yesterday. I don't answer the phone because I don't recognize the number because a radio station's never called me from the studio to be on before. And I get this message saying, why have I been canceled? You're live on the air. And I thought maybe I'd missed my time to appear on his show. So I go running for my phone and trying to call him back only to find out that he made a little mistake. He was not being canceled from our show. He's being canceled next week while I'm away. But that's fine. But anyway, hilarity ensued.
It was the best received segment of the entire show. People thought it was fantastic that Pat would do that and take time, and people loved it. It was a whole new afternoon version of Pat Kreitlow, ginned up, ready to go.
When Pat's not sitting in the anchor chair and trying to deliver a stoic daily newscast or radio show, Pat can be a little carefree and sarcastic with his comments. I don't know if you know that. But
it was great.
Todd found out the hard way yesterday that when Pat doesn't have to have control of the circus, he can be one of the monkeys. And that's exactly where we went. Flinging poo and everything.
But here now the program has taken a completely different turn and it's been made much, much better because I was down there on Saturday night in Madison at the 4-hour fantastic extravaganza of the media people.
The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards Dinner.
Yeah.
Four hours, you say.
We have an award winner. I didn't hear my name called certainly all evening long after 4 hours. But Brittany Merlot, God love her, she not only that's exactly why I didn't hear my name called, because my microphone is balanced on books. But Brittany Merlot, her name was called not once, not twice, but three times as an award winner, number one, for both her news reporting and her meteorology. And let me tell you, if you're going to pick a day to be butt naked, I think Brittany today is the day to do it, because
don't connect the two. Let's keep the focus on the awards. Again, I'm suddenly seeing why there were no Alba or Kreitlow names in the program. Of course, I put nothing in there because, like I said, there are middle schools where the principal delivers announcements over the PA system more worthy of WBA awards than this program. So I'm glad that Brittany could actually set the bar high for civic media and make sure that we are recognized for the good work that some of us do under the roof. Present company, me and Todd excluded, of course. So
get out of here. You guys are amazing, honestly. I don't know why you didn't walk away with awards.
Yeah, by the way, thank you, Tony, for putting up on YouTube that Todd also accused me of day drinking when I didn't answer the phone right away for him yesterday. Because I didn't come when he snapped his fingers,
I may have been self-projecting on that one.
maybe. And you know what, Brittany? I was out in the backyard at the time because, how's this for a transition, WBA? Because, the weather was so gorgeous out there. And we would like for that to continue, maybe with a little hiccup from a passing cold front.
I know, this cold front. We've got those winds just blasting out of the north right now at about 25 miles per hour, cooling us down, keeping us, not as hot as yesterday. 87 degrees in Ashland, way up north, off of Lake Superior. They hit 87 degrees. So that was a wild warm day yesterday after they had a wildfire on Monday that burned 23 acres. And now with these winds and the dry conditions and no rain in sight, we're in a very high fire danger today. And that's probably going to last until we get significant rain, which I don't see another chance of rain really hitting the state until Saturday. That's when another cold front moves through, and it could spark up some scattered showers and thunderstorms. That actually starts Friday night way up north, works its way through the state through the overnight, and kind of winds up down south through Saturday morning. But otherwise, temperatures do take a little hit tomorrow. We'll be into the 60s across the state, still sunny. And then we warm things back up as we go into Friday and especially into the weekend, back into those mid to upper 70s. Even some 80s are going to be felt again. And I just love that it's going to be bright and beautiful and warm for Mother's Day, because moms, you deserve it. That's a hard job.
Aw, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. To which my mom would say, yeah, that figures, Patrick. So yes, Mother's Day is coming up.
It is.
Yep. I got a card for her this year for Joan, and it says, here's a card for you on Mother's Day on time. And you open it up and it says, signed and sent by your daughter-in-law. And then Sherry signs it. And I just kind of put my name way down at the bottom there. The people at Hallmark, they know me so well. Yeah. I don't know.
May I ask a weather-related question, Pat?
The chair recognizes the delegate with the towel. Yes, Mr. Alba.
Thank you very much. Now, Brittany, I've heard, I want you to explain this to our listeners, because I hear we're in the middle of an Omega front. Omega front, which we have lots of Christian nationalists in Madison, because there's so many, are running around very scared because I think this is biblical. We've already had
not the Alpha and Omega.
Omega.
No,
it must
no,
be the end
no,
of the world.
No.
What is an Omega front and why is this important?
Okay, so it's like the Greek letter Omega, right? So it's shaped like that. That is what's happening across the country. We've got two low pressure systems that are cut off. They're big, they're not moving, and they're bringing some flooding and crazy stuff going on there. But it's also locking a high pressure system in right over us, which means abundant sunshine, dry conditions, no rain in the forecast, nothing is able to move. So our jet streams that usually send in multiple low pressures every few days, they've been stalled and they're on hold wherever they are. So that's kind of what this means and what's going on for us and why we have such a long dry stretch, tons of sunny weather. It kind of makes my job a little easy.
For folks who don't know, the Greek letter Omega didn't go to fancy schools like Todd Alba's Richland Center Academy or wherever you went. Yes, exactly. And Omega is like an O, but you right. set it on the stovetop and the bottom kind of melts and extends off to the left and right there. And that's what you see on the map right now, essentially.
The only reason I know that because there's a big fraternity community in Platteville, which I was never a part of. But Sam Davidson, our producer this hour, Sam Davidson, I shared with us because he was filling for Zomers on our program. He went to his first toga party, speaking of Omega and frat parties. So it is the season, right, for during this Omega front, great time to have a frat party or have a toga party.
A toga party is a good time. Gotta say.
How did I lose control of my own show that we went from Omega blocks to toga parties? This is madness, I tell you. I don't even know where to go from here, Brittany. I'm just going to say goodbye, okay?
Okay. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the beautiful
day. Brittany, isn't this? This is award-winning. This is award-winning material right here. You should know.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one. So there you go. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you. Bye, Todd.
See you later.
So, Todd.
Yes.
What do you do with your microphone over there? I keep hearing it rumble. Let me see the microphone. Can you hold that up, please, for the folks watching the social media? Like, okay, that's a perfectly lovely, but it's on a mic stand that is 2 inches tall. And
unlike our main studio at the world headquarters of Civic Media right now. I just want to feel like I'm doing my normal show with my mic on books.
Well, again, I'm thinking a different mic stand would probably solve this for you, buddy. 89 cents at Radio Shack, I think.
You want to know the actual truth? Here's what happened. I had a mic stand that fit this when I was at Hayward for the Birkenbinder last year. I was using my own stuff, but then you want to know? I was doing up north, what used to be up north news radio. I was doing that. It wore itself out, and that mic stand broke, and so now I don't have that mic stand.
Okay. All right. Well, now we know what
the... I sacrificed for you, Pac.
When's your birthday?
I wouldn't sacrifice my body, but by God, I sacrifice a microphone stand.
When's your birthday now that I know what to get you? You know, some half-decent broadcast equipment.
Well, you know, October.
Tony on YouTube. Just one segment ago, you had a congressman. What a turn. Indeed. What did you have yesterday when we so rudely interrupted each other? You were doing a what's worse thing. Is this a thing you do?
A sweaty or chills.
These are the weighty issues that get considered between
These
2 and 4 in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, yeah. Okay. it's just a segment we have some fun with. What's worse, we pick something. And so yesterday was sweaty or chills. Pat Kreitler, what's worse?
Chills are worse because clearly you're sick if you got that.
Well, I guess or shivering. That's what it was. Sweaty shivering. Or shivering.
Oh, shivering. Yeah, shivering still worse. Cold is way worse than hot.
See, I disagree. A sweaty because I usually always get sweaty when I'm at an event or I'm moving stuff around for the show and then
See this again, much like Jane and Greg have their palate cleanser audio sorbet.
And they have a harp music for it.
A little harp music that plays that clearly we don't have here on demand. Anyway. And you're doing, you know, sweaty versus shivering over here. These are the kinds of things, if I need something to cleanse the palate and not focus on all the serious stuff, I just know to call in Todd Alba. And this is what we get.
This, again, why our show is not up for any sort of awards, but we do have a lot of fun.
Yes, that works perfectly.
We can't all be the powerhouse of Tom Hartman. You understand? We just can't all be that.
Wow. Well, that took a turn toward the network. Still ahead this hour, Joe Zepecki. But first, from the heart of America's up north and live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We We've got Matinee Baseball on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coverage begins at 11:35 this morning. Brewers versus Astros. Brewers looking for the sweep. Catch that game on several Civic Media radio stations. Head over to the website to learn where and how you can listen in as the Brewers go for that sweep. Jake Bowers hit a two-run homer last night to help the Brewers to a 4-3 victory over Houston. Chad Patrick worked a career-high 6 2/3 innings, carrying a one-hit shutout into the seventh inning. After this afternoon's game, the Brewers hit the road again for Tampa this weekend, followed by Cleveland. Todd Alba is still with us now, having ditched the towel turban for a more stylish Brewers cap. The man knows to stay on theme, if nothing else. He hears about the Brewers. The Brewers hat comes out. That's great. It's good work out of you.
And coming up Friday, we have the new Fabulous Friday extravaganza, right?
Yes, but
the ticket giveaway.
See, I'm gone for the next two Fridays, and so I'm not really up to speed on it. Do you know enough to talk about it off the cuff?
I can make something up, sure. No, I'm just kidding. starting, I believe, this Friday on maybe not Pat's show because he's on vacation, but I thought Pat's show. I think it's going to be a mornings of Pat Kreitler, Matt Nair on air from 10 until or 9 until 11. And then somehow I'm told Tom Hartman's giving away tickets, and then me, and then Maggie Dawn. And every Friday, you text to win, and someone each Friday for the rest of the season is going to win 4 tickets in our beautiful club level section at AmFam Field, except for the week that we have our text to win Sizzle-rama Verlo mattress giveaway or whatever those things are. But otherwise, every Friday Brewers giveaway.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, Chad Holmes will be filling in for me the next two Fridays. Kristen Lyerly will be around on the Mondays. Matt Rothschild takes next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I'm sure there will be ample opportunity for those Brewers tickets. Let's talk a bit about some news. You knew we had to get around to news eventually, folks. The Joint Finance Committee tomorrow, I believe, is going to be cutting more than 600 items that Governor Tony Evers had proposed for the next state budget. We don't have to review the whole schmear because we know these are all things that have majority support among Wisconsinites, but Republican legislators, for whatever reason, either because they don't agree with them or just for the sake of a power play, are going to strip them out. I guess it's nothing new, Todd, but it strikes me every 2 years as something so disingenuous as to strike these things without the benefit of a vote, by the way. They don't put the Republicans on record for, you know, stripping out the mental health aid money. They don't put them on on notice for stripping out the the food assistance or whatever. They just put it in one big motion and take it out.
I was around the Capitol for enough years, and I know Pat, you covered it and then were a part of it. I mean, I still remember guys for conservatives out there, people that still call themselves Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011. I still remember guys like Joe Leon, Republican, who was the longtime powerful co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. And guess what? They actually had real hearings that lasted for hours and days, and they're excruciating. But guys like Joe Leon would give people their time to actually have a voice before the committee. And there were real debates back in those days. And as you said, Pat, now you got Howard Markline on the Senate side from my neck of the woods out in southwest Wisconsin, who is a guy, as our friend Trigvi Olson says, there are some people that want to do in politics. There are some people that want to be. And Howard Markline is a guy that just wants to be. And they're not really interested in having tough, because these things are tough. You know, Pat, you were there, and they're very difficult decisions because not everything can get funded, even with a $4 billion surplus. And there are tough decisions, but the key is to give people a voice to listen, and then to figure out how do you get people 75% of the loaf. And we just don't have, we have zero-sum people, I would argue on both parties at least, but I can't speak for every person on the Joint Finance Committee. I think guys like Representative McGuire. Thanks. They're very thoughtful on the Democratic side. But we had I know you guys have been talking about it here as well, but we had a guest on from Kareem's Childcare in Mount Horeb here in Dane County yesterday, and a small business owner from New Glarus in Greene County. And they're part of Wisconsin Main Street Alliance. Great group, by the way. Talking about childcare and the fact that there was the COVID, the pandemic, money had been supplementing childcare in Wisconsin, some of these funds, and now they're gone. And Joint Finance announced yesterday that they're not interested in using part of that $4 billion with a B surplus to help that out. And it doesn't matter whether you're at Lake Wissota or Madison or Milwaukee or Richland Center, childcare, as we all know, is a huge thing. And guess what? If you want to use Republican language, it's a job creator, because people can't go to work and work jobs if they don't have childcare.
And I'm just amazed that the Republicans as a block, that there's not that maverick wannabe that says, and by the way, this path is wide open, Republicans, for one to step up and go, I'm actually in favor of childcare and protecting it and the jobs that would be created. And we haven't seen one of those yet. Or as Tony puts up on YouTube, protecting citizens from health insurance companies. How unpopular. Because, they're stripping out the governor's proposal to audit health insurance companies with a proven record of rejecting claims from their Wisconsin customers. Yeah. That's
nothing to say of our state university system and also K-12. We were talking with folks last hour, National Teacher Week. My family are educators. Here's something, Pat. Let's have a little positivity. If you see your kids' teachers at the grocery store, just say thanks. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just say thanks for what you do. We recognize you. Yeah. If you have a PTO in your community, give to that. They buy gift cards or whatever. Those are positive things. And the old phrase, just be kind. Mm-hmm. I think that our communities need this and recognition. Doesn't cost a dime, but to know that the sacrifices our educators are making in this state, despite what might be happening in the legislature or isn't, that they still matter. So there's a little positivity. And if you're a Democrat, to Pat Kreitlow, vote for Joe Zepecki, for God's sake, for chairman. There's something positive you can do.
Joe Zepecki's coming up next.
And he's going to hate that because that comes from a former Republican.
Thank you, Todd Alba. Have a wonderful day, Joe Zepecki, after this.
Bye.
Hey, remember to sign up for those newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can get our daily newsletter that Christina Lori puts together with many fine features about life in Wisconsin, including today, all about planning a water park trip to one of the many fine water parks in the Wisconsin Dells area. There's another story there about native plants to Wisconsin, pollinator friendly, that you could be planting in your garden. I didn't really understand or appreciate till a couple days back when somebody said, there are flower and garden shops around that sell plants that people like, but they're not necessarily native to Wisconsin. They're almost more invasive to other species that are here. So I'm gonna have to learn more about that. But again, you can learn about that in our newsletter as well. Joe Zepecki is here. Normally you hear Melissa Baldoff on Wednesdays, Joe Zepecki on Thursdays. The husband and wife are flipping days this week because Joe is going to be on the road as part of his campaign for state Democratic Party chair and talking about all kinds of issues, health care and things like that, including something on Thursday morning in downtown Eau Claire, right?
That's right. Well, first of all, we call the Melissa to Joe swap the old husband-wife dipsy-doo traitoroo. I'm pretty sure that's a
dipsy-doo traitoroo
specific.
She trademarked that.
Reflection,
yes.
Okay. Of swapping radio slots. Tomorrow we'll be in the Eau Claire area. As your listeners know, Medicaid is on the chopping block. Republicans in Washington, any day now, are going to go ahead and mark up the ways they plan to decimate health care coverage for seniors and babies and support for people with disabilities. And so we are having another conversation focused on Medicaid with people who are able to live independently and work, with parents of kiddos who were born with Born with pre-existing conditions, one of my favorite tricks of the English language, how absurd that is. And so we'll be having a conversation with State Senator Jeff Smith, potentially some other area lawmakers, about what's at stake when it comes to Medicaid. And then I'm going to pop over and talk to some Democrats in the area who are trying to figure out who they're going to vote for state party chair. So it's going to be a fun morning and probably early afternoon.
No doubt, as part of the travels all around. Let's keep the focus on Medicaid for a moment with this simple question about Senator Ron Johnson's remarks the other day. Did he do you a favor? Did he do a lot of people trying to save Medicaid a favor with his comments where he basically roots for killing Medicaid coverage and says, you know, the other members of my party need to stop being so squeamish and saying we can't cut this or we can't cut that. We have to cut everything to, you know, to hear Ron Johnson tell it. And it really kind of, you know, gives up the ghost when it comes to other Republicans, say Derek Van Orden, who are all like, oh, no, we're going to protect Medicaid. We're going to cut nothing but waste, fraud, and abuse everywhere else. Ron Johnson saying the quiet part out loud, is that almost helpful?
Almost.
In a way.
I'm struggling with this one, and I think the struggle is more about Senator Ron Johnson than it is the words coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there are... there are political maxims and truisms, and for most folks, if most Republicans came out and just said, nope, this is it, folks, we're cutting it, we want to gut this thing down to the studs, that would be helpful. I understand why you're asking that. Ron Johnson is so divorced from reality, so detached from anything resembling common sense, that I don't think anything he says is helpful, and that's where I'm struggling. Because this is the same Senator Ron Johnson who in the last week went on TV, goes on the shows and says, boy, these Trump tariffs are killing Wisconsin manufacturers. I'm talking to them and they're telling me that if we keep this up, they're going to go out of business. And then he is given an opportunity on the floor of the United States Senate to vote to override Trump's tariffs and he doesn't do it. So he says one thing and he votes another way on Trump tariffs that are hitting Wisconsin manufacturers. That same newsletter you were talking about, which walks through the water parks, also details the analysis that shows Wisconsin will be hit worst of all by the tariffs. And Ron Johnson can't get that right. And then he starts flapping his gums on Medicaid. He is someone who you cannot trust what he says. And it seems like every passing week or year, the things that he says are more and more ridiculous. And so I don't know what to do about that. I'm not here to, you know, lay odds on the politics of it. What I'm here to tell your listeners is we have to keep the pressure up. Ron Johnson may be gone, but Josh Hawley and the new senator from Ohio and Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, there are other Republicans who are movable and who are gettable, and we don't need that many of them to stop the wrecking ball that destroying Medicaid would mean for Wisconsin. And I don't just mean for the people who receive Medicaid support so they can live independently and continue to work and not be in a facility or a home. I also mean our Wisconsin economy. 30,000 Wisconsin businesses get money from Medicaid every year. That is money that is moving through our economy. It is employing workers. And the notion that we can cut $500 billion, $880 billion more, like Johnson is suggesting, from Medicaid and not have it be a cascading economic tsunami is ridiculous. Each congressional district would, in Wisconsin alone, would see more than $1 billion come out of its economy if what Ron Johnson and his colleagues are talking about happens. So he can spout off and talk his talk. We're going to keep up the fight. We're going to keep up the pressure and try to protect people who are trying to live lives of dignity and purpose with a little bit of help, just a little bit of help. And to put the lie to the nonsense you're going to hear, 73.5% of Wisconsinites on Medicaid are already working adults. So miss me with the, we just want people to work stuff. No. People already are working.
Joe Zepecki is our guest here. Look, I'm going to be off Friday. Normally, I would ask this of Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, but let's take this to the next level in the Congress and ask it this way. So we have, as you said, there are Republicans who are what you would call gettable. They are in purple districts. There are plenty of people who have kind of tut-tutted that, oh, we don't need cuts that big. You've got Ron Johnson, on the other hand, saying, come on, everybody, bear down and let's really do it this time. And we already know that any deadlines that House Speaker Mike Johnson has set are going to come and go for any action. Is it yet possible that even with Trump in the White House and them controlling the House and the Senate, that the House and Senate Republicans or the MAGA and what used to be called moderate Republicans are going to be so far apart? Could we actually get to, what would it be, October 1st, the end of the fiscal year? And even with total Republican control, they're still going to have to pass continuing resolutions because they can't agree on a final product?
Yes, but only if we keep up the pressure. And that's the hard part, right? Is we have to keep it up. But I'm old enough to remember a month ago when Republican leaders in Congress said, we're going to get this reconciliation package done by the end of May. And now they have already moved the goalposts to late summer. They are not good at this. We can win and we can stop this. And so keep up the pressure, keep up the calls. Yeah, and as for Ron Johnson, I just had the flash in my mind. Remember the scene from Old School with Will Ferrell in the locker room, and he's all sweaty and like, screw, we can do this, let's go. That feels like Ron Johnson's enthusiasm for slashing Medicaid. And if that doesn't tell you all you need to know about the senior senator from Wisconsin, I don't know what will.
Well, while we're talking about the enthusiasm for cuts, let's move it to the state capitol here, where Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee have outlined something like 612 different items from Governor Tony Evers' proposals that they're going to cut tomorrow. And they're going to do it in one fell swoop. They're not going to ask for individual votes on each one of these worthy ideas. I know it's nothing new. This is now the fourth state budget cycle we've been through with Governor Evers. But I've noticed that it ramps up each time. There was like 200 some the first time, 300 some the second time, 500 2 years ago, and more than 600 this time around. For a legislature that is no longer as gerrymandered and has more districts in play, this still seems like a somewhat of a gutsy move on their part to pretend like they still have, you know, almost veto-proof majorities.
But Pat, you didn't tell the listeners how this represents progress.
Okay.
On the fourth budget cycle.
There is a little progress about this.
In the first three budget cycles, what did Republicans do? They just chucked the whole thing and started from base. This time, they're merely stripping out 621, I think that number's right, policy items, but at least they didn't throw the whole thing out. And I know that's like a weird, subtle difference. And it's rare the morning that Pat has me being the optimist, but this actually is a little bit different. And perhaps, you know, despite the fact that with 10 pickups in the assembly and 3 in the Senate, it's crazy to me that the JFC breakdown is still 12-4 and Republicans didn't, you know, give anything on that. And perhaps there are enough Republicans in Mr. Voss's caucus in particular, and they certainly should be in Mr. Lemieux's, that are looking over their shoulder and going, we could actually lose this thing. And let's find some ways to at least signal towards responsible governing and working with the other side. And so I'm not going to give them more credit than they deserve. The 621 policy items that they stripped out are popular. They are common sense. This is not radical policy, and this is not a Republican, you know, caucus or two in the, between the two chambers that has proven that their ability to work real hard or show up and do anything for the people of Wisconsin. You know, in the pandemic, they went home for 9 months. And so it's one thing to say, well, policy doesn't belong in the budget. We'll come back and do this later. But there's no reason to believe them when they say, we'll come back and do this later. And so we can certainly chop up some of your favorite of those 621. But I just think overall, it's an interesting dynamic where they haven't done it this way before, and in that respect, it is a little progress. But at the same time, boy, are they cutting out a lot of stuff that would be really good for Wisconsin and that Democrats will never stop fighting for.
And perhaps, once again, heading into that next cycle, Democrats will do more to resurrect those things in terms of their campaigning and in their messaging and say, look, these ideas were actually put forward and they were cut out. But you have to tell that to whoever the next state party chair is.
And listen, the communication starts now.
Yeah.
Right. When this stuff gets stripped out, every targeted GOP member in a battleground district needs to hear about it. And that's one of the things we're talking about, how to work more closely with the caucuses and be a good partner to make sure that accountability work starts during this budget cycle.
Mm-hmm. Joe Zepecki is chair for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and you can learn more over at joezepecki.com. Don't do what I did. Spell it correctly the first time. Zepecki. What did I do the first time? Z-I, didn't I? No, it's Z-E-P-E.
Z-A is an often misspell.
There's an A in there. But yeah, Kreitlo, like I'm one to throw stones over here. So, hey, reminder, we have Brewers baseball this afternoon. Coverage starts at 11:35 on several Civic Media stations. Head over civicmedia.us to learn more. I'm Pat Kreitlo, reminding you to follow us from what we do at UpNorthNewsWI.com and sign up for the newsletters there. Hey, remember, all the words from your Pledge of Allegiance, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
James Kelly will be along in just a minute with a bit of an update on happenings around Western Wisconsin in the news. But first, let's wrap things up with Joe Zepecki. Before some of our stations had to cut away for a local update, I wanted to squeeze in one more question. And it dealt with the governor announcing yet another lawsuit that the state is joining to try to stop some of the cuts and the firings by the Trump administration. I believe it's 14 different lawsuits so far. And I just wanted to ask you if that is, I don't want to say the best that we can do, but I mean, is that our only avenue, is that you find some courts that stop this, or does it at least slow things down? What's your take on fighting this on 14 different fronts?
Good. Thank you, Governor Evers, for standing up for the rule of law. This is how you stop an authoritarian in its tracks. You use the courts, you use the media, you use public opinion. You get people out in the streets. Tony Evers is doing exactly what he should be doing. And it's not just the court stuff. It is when the borders are threatens to arrest our governor. Tony coming out immediately and saying, I'm not backing down. This is a scare tactic. I'm operating under the law. I always have. And so good on Tony Evers. Good on Josh Call. 14 is a lot. And this is the type of environment and the challenge that we elect these leaders to meet, and they are meeting it. And so I applaud them, my hat is off to them, and go down the list. The things that they are in court for are, in before times, pretty straightforward, clear-cut things. Like when Congress appropriates money, it has to be spent because the president signed it into law. And, so kudos to them. We all got to have their back. The other way you stop a regime like this is you continue to use your voice. Everyone, use your voice. That is the only way through this.
Words of wisdom from Joe Zepecki that we get every week, usually Thursdays, but a happy visit on a Wednesday before you and Melissa pull the old, how did you put it, the old spousal switcheroo?
The husband-wife switcheroo trickadoo? I don't know.
Traitor-roo.
Traitor-roo, yeah.
We'll be talking to Melissa tomorrow. Thank you, Joe. Safe travels. We'll talk to you a little later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's bring James Kelly in now, a Civic Media reporter up in here. Beautiful Chippewa Falls, covering stories all around Western Wisconsin. How is James today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just listening to all the drama with Todd Albaugh unfold there. And, I'm just sitting here thinking, who would misread an event cancellation email in their Gmail account? Certainly not me.
James did the same thing yesterday, but did not try to publicly embarrass me the way that Todd Alba did for it. So thank you, James. I appreciate that. Let's pick up where we left off with Joe, and that was with Governor Evers. He has been all around Western and Northwest Wisconsin for several different topics that you've been tracking for folks.
Yeah, he was in Chippewa Falls on Thursday talking about youth mental health investments in the biennial budget, Saturday up in Rice Lake for the fishing opener, and then earlier this week visited the Wisconsin Logging Museum over in Eau Claire to promote the tourism industry and how much money's been brought in through that in 2023, even 2022, setting a record and then breaking it the following year. I'd say walking around the Wisconsin Logging Museum, because there's really not much to do at these tours except kind of take the tour with whatever politician is there to do it. I'm glad that I live in the era of air conditioning.
Yes. And look, time brings its different economic priorities. We were once, you know, the world capital for logging. And so the museum is there to talk about a very proud part. But those things don't last forever. And the same with any other, you know, industry. So for, again, my personal editorial, for Donald Trump to say we're going to build iPhones and Barbie dolls in factories here in the U.S. is just not in step with the times, whereas Governor Evers has been trying to bring in the actual jobs of today. Let's turn to Dunn County, where, again, we talk about affordability across rural Wisconsin. There's always been a problem with, you know, transportation issues there, public transportation as well. What is it that Dunn County Transit's going to try to do about that?
Yeah, so they're going to be offering rides for residents that live in more rural areas. It's a big county. There's a lot of space that isn't quite in Menominee, so public transit could be an issue for, you know, accessing healthcare, just getting to areas where you can do some shopping. That can be very difficult, especially for older residents who may not want to be driving around the roads themselves anymore. So for the month of June, they've split the county into four quadrants. They'll be offering rides through a pilot program in one quadrant each week for the month of June, and if that's successful, it'll go on beyond that. For the month of June, it'll be free. All you have to do is call 24 hours ahead to schedule your ride.
You know, it just occurs to me that if I were a bit more entrepreneurial and I lived in one of these places that you could do it, I'd start a shuttle service. And what I would do is I'd have two routes. I'd have a daytime route, which takes you to past all the clinics and maybe some of the shops, and then a PM route that takes you past some of the, shall we say, the watering holes in the community. And look, a lot of bars have those already. They have, you know, nighttime shuttles that people ride sober. Start running those things by day to people getting to their appointments and everything, and double your funds. I'm so glad I could give this get rich quick scheme to the bar owners who have shuttles all across Wisconsin. Unfortunately, on a down note, there was a failed referendum in the Shell Lake School District, and the other shoe is dropping, as we would expect.
Yeah, it's actually a reproposal of a previously proposed referendum, which failed for a second time. So now the district's facing a $500,000 budget shortfall for next year. They're eliminating three teachers' positions, one administrative assistant position, reducing custodial hours. And I think one of the big ones that's going to affect everybody in the district is they're increasing employee-paid health insurance deductibles. They're just saying the same thing that every other school district is saying. They're not getting enough money from the state, and costs are going up.
And that is the reality after something like this happens, especially in this case, the Shell Lake School District. James Kelly follows all this and more from Chippewa Falls for Civic Media. James, thanks. Good to talk to you. Remember, next week, not so much.
But next week.
We'll see you the week afterwards. I really got to write my memos better. All right. Thanks, James. We will talk to you later. Again, a reminder tomorrow, Melissa Baldoff and also State Senator Sarah Kieski talking about a bill that would prevent hedge funds from owning private single-family homes in Wisconsin. My thanks to Joe Zepecki, Mark Pocan, Jill Underley, Melissa Kay, and all of you for being here this morning. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom, and we appreciate you being here for us this morning. I'll see you back here up north tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.